This is John McKeown in the Americana Music Show, and today I'm going to be talking with Bob Cherry. Bob?
Morning.
Well, Bob Cherry, you just heard him, he runs Cybergrass, and it's all about bluegrass music, the good old American art form. Bob, what is Cybergrass?
Well, Cybergrass is basically a website. Actually, it was one of the first websites in the world, and it's a bluegrass music portal. I started a piece on it, which I call the Bluegrass Music News Network, and we've been putting up artist profiles and news for almost 20 years now. Yeah, and we're in our 18th year this year.
You don't have to explain it as much as you did 18 years ago, did you?
Oh, no. Back then, it was text only. It started with just some song lyrics from Digital Tradition. I don't know if you remember those, John, but that was one of the first formats on, you know, PCs running. I don't even know what they ran back then. But it was just chords and song lyrics that were compiled.
And what all do you have to offer now when people go to Cybergrass? What can they find?
It's mostly news. Every day, we post new news, 7 days a week. 30 days a year. All the old stories are still there. They're archived. You can reach them down at the bottom of the page. We have forums. Unfortunately, the forums broke the other day. Something corrupted the database, so I'm rebuilding it. It's a completely data-driven site, but it's got forums. It's got music reviews and album reviews, news stories, a little bit of everything. It's just a general web portal, but the primary focus today is news. The previous generation of the site, which was prior to 2003, the primary focus was artist profiles.
And can people hear music on the Cybergrass or just hear about it by reading?
They just hear about it. We dropped the music when DMCA was written. We used to do promotions of albums. We did them low fidelity. We didn't want people to use it as a substitute for the music. We wanted people to buy the music. But we would give samples of songs and everything like that for the various record labels that we supported. Never full albums, never full songs, just portions. But to give people an idea what the album sounded like. But
well, you say about music. For those that are listening to the show today, what type of music? Cybergrass kind of gives it away to anybody that plays a banjo or mandolin, but some people don't know. And what are some of the biggest names that you've either interviewed or represented that are represented?
Well, Cybergrass has always been about bluegrass music. I'm interested in various forms, but I could only focus on one with the site. And it's gone through several iterations over the years. But we had like the first website, really, for many of the top artists in music today.
Such as?
Well, like Allison Krauss and Union Station. We had their site up. We had Bill Monroe's site up. Lots of artists like Blue Highway.
They're great.
Yeah, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. And now they all do their own, which is probably a good thing because they're in control of it. But in the early days, they had no web presence, and we put up lots and lots of profiles for various bluegrass artists just to get them exposed and get them a web presence, and we contacted the artists and made sure that what was up there was current as much as we could, where they were going to be performing, their tour itinerary, whatever. But as internet evolved, they started doing their own, and you know, frankly, they were doing a better job than I could trying to manage 100 of them at the same time.
But so you're still a main conduit for basic information for someone that is curious about bluegrass. They can go They can go find out about the whole palette of music out there by going to Cybergrass, I bet.
Certainly, yeah. And they can find out what's going on with bluegrass, who's doing what, when, and where. New album releases that are coming out. We're running a piece today about the Graskals doing a show that's coming up. So we have Dolly Parton's big event, as the Barbecue and Bluegrass Festival, has been revitalized. We ran that story yesterday. So we try to keep our readers informed of what's going on in the genre.
Why do you do this, Bob? I've always been curious about that. You're so dedicated to it from day one when I met you, or that might have been day four. But you've really been adamant about getting this form of music into the most modern communication forum.
Well,
why?
As you know, I'm a techie addict. And I wanted something that you look at the other genres of music from rock to country to whatever, and it's almost overwhelming out there of the presence they had. And when I started this, bluegrass didn't exist on the web. It was dark and void. In fact, when I first started, there was no music. Bluegrass was probably the first genre represented on the World Wide Web back in 92, because we were one of the first 10 websites in the world.
But I'm still not sure you've answered why. Why did you, I mean, what is your normal job?
My normal job is to do business intelligence and data warehousing and analytics.
And then you go spend a bunch of time doing cybergrass. Do you play yourself?
I have a banjo and a guitar. I'm nowhere on par with where you are, but I pick at it a bit. But I love the music, and I love playing with the technology, and it's a good marriage of the two.
Uh-huh. You like spreading the word, apparently.
Well, I hold a journalism degree, surprisingly enough. I don't have a technology degree. I kind of stumbled into technology by mistake, and I was invited on a tour at Xerox Corporation's Microelectronics Center, and they offered me a job on the spot. So I worked with their research group for years. That's where I got the patent on the optical mouse that you use on your computer.
You have that patent?
Yes, sir.
That explains why there's some free time available for Bob Cherry.
And satellite radio broadcasting like XM and Sirius do. I have the patent on that. And various others that I did while working in research in high technology. Worked with artificial intelligence systems. I've worked with imagers and VLSI chips that see and doing sensors for NASA and JPL. I mean, I've had a very fun background. But I needed something that wasn't work-related. I needed something that was fun. And cybergrass has been 18 years of fun. It has been a very joyous ride down the road.
People are hitting on it lately. I mean, what is your average? Yeah.
Well, right now we have 4,800 registered readers. Now, a lot of them are probably no longer active, but I don't know. Let me bring it up and take a look. I haven't checked the stats really for ages. I know we're...
Oh, just go back ages, a couple of years ago. You were spreading the word to people that were looking, and how many a month might that be?
Well, at our peak, which was around 1995, we were several million a day.
Wow.
But because of what I call volume dilution, keep in mind back then we were the only website that was really focused on bluegrass. Today there's probably over 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
So people are going to other websites, not just ours. They're looking at like iBluegrass and the Bluegrass blog, and you know, there's all the artist sites individually that they're focused on. Look at Rhonda Vincent, for example. She's got such a following on her site.
Right.
But they're not coming to mind to find out about Rhonda Vincent because, frankly, by the time I hear about it, it's old news to her fans.
Well, what I was hoping to see or have happen with this interview is syndicatednews.net is getting out the world and getting out to the world through a new method and spreading the word. Well, one of the words that we can spread is about bluegrass. And one way people can find out about it in general, I believe, is to go to cybergrass. One thing that I was hoping to do with syndicatednews.net here is, since it's getting out to the world in this new method of spreading the word in many different areas, there's a lot of people out there that, oh, I've heard about bluegrass, or I like that banjo-y, mandolin, bluegrassy sound. Is cybergrass a place where, I think it is myself, a place where people can just go find out about bluegrass in general and maybe be directed to those websites you mentioned?
Well, I would hope so. That's part of why I do it. We have a database of links, which are cataloged into various subject matter, whether it be instruments, education, record labels, what have you. So we have a link catalog of probably over 1,000 links to various aspects of bluegrass music. And, you know, you were asking about how many people hit. Well, we had a little over 10,000 yesterday. So it was a pretty good day. And we have a search engine. We have topics. So people can kind of focus in on what they're looking for. They can search for an artist and find out what's going on with that. You can.
They can find out how much Bill Monroe's mandolin sold for.
We have a lot of the information about that whole controversy about the Bill Monroe mandolin and the Country Music Hall of Fame. That's all covered on there.
I bet.
And we try, like I say, we cover all different aspects of what's going on in the music. Cover it as just an informal news outlet where people can find out what's happening.
Well, that's what I thought is good about Cybergrass, for those that are maybe haven't looked at it, that know about it, haven't looked at it for a while, is that you cover things that people maybe don't cover on their own band websites, like the Bill Monroe mandolin controversy and news about things of that nature.
Basically, it said I have a journalism degree. I want to kind of use my background and have some fun with it and get the word out about what's going on. Like I said, I've been doing this for, you know, almost 2 decades, so it's been a lot of fun. And we've changed our focus based on what our readers want.
Let me ask you this, Bob.
If they want this, that, or the other, we'll try to focus on what they're looking for.
Do you feel like your Cybergrass service has helped spread the word of bluegrass and made it kind of better?
Oh, I believe so. I've had people tell me that they've put stuff on Cybergrass and then read about it on other publications all over the world. For example, the International Bluegrass Music Awards show. That's a big event in the bluegrass community.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
We were the first site to air that awards show or webcast it. In fact, we were the first site to webcast any music awards show.
Uh-huh.
And we've done that now for over 15 years in a row. And we've had people from all over the world that just, they have no way to get to Nashville to attend that show. It's, the cost alone would be prohibitive for somebody in Japan or Australia or the Czech Republic to come and listen to that. But they're very interested in it. So we make that available every year.
And that's, you just made a comment that many people that are aware of bluegrass, kind of, aren't aware of the fact that it has some strange draw to people like the Czech Republic, Japan, Australia, parts of Germany or England, that there's these, well, the word fanatic is cut in half for the word fan, but they are almost back to fanatics. You get a lot of those people, I bet.
Well, I bet that bluegrass music's probably more popular in the Czech Republic per capita than it is in the United States.
And a question, though, about, you know, we mentioned the Bill Monroe controversy and the mandolin. For those that maybe didn't know, what is some of that controversy about Bill Monroe? For those that don't know the background, just really quickly, he is the guy that put the name bluegrass to bluegrass music with his band, the Bluegrass Boys, in the middle 40s, when Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys were out there. And he played the mandolin and wrote songs like Blue Moon of Kentucky and all kinds of basic, the early songs that were the foundation of a big section of bluegrass. But what happened? He passed away a few years back. And what happened to that mandolin?
Well, the mandolin is resting comfortably in the Country Music Hall of Fame, but it got, as... Unfortunately, bluegrass, you could write a song about that, what happened with that mandolin. The mandolin was caught up in a controversy, and there was, when he passed away, the mandolin basically kind of went up for grabs, if you will. And James,
with
his brother.
Within the family, you mean?
Yes and no. His brother, James, apparently acquired it and then put it up for auction. But there was another gentleman that came into play, and I can't remember his name. I probably have it somewhere. But he was like a philanthropist, and he was giving all kinds of money and the Carter family instruments and Bill Monroe's mandolin and stuff. He was buying those to give to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
I believe he was in Franklin, Tennessee.
But it, Mabel Carter's guitar, uh-huh, and Bill Monroe's mandolin and some others were given to the, were purchased. They weren't given. They were, the Country Music Hall of Fame was given money to purchase these instruments by a gentleman named McLean. That was his name.
Uh-huh.
The unfortunate thing was is that he stole all that money he used to buy all this with.
Yeah.
Okay. And so in 2005, he purchased those and he donated them. Well, then, of course, his pyramid scheme or Ponzi scheme, whatever, collapsed around him. And all the people wanted their money back for, I don't know, it was like quarter to a half million dollars or whatever. And it went to bankruptcy court. And it got rather entwined over the years about what's going on here. And so the Country Music Hall of Fame almost lost the instruments as they were going to be put up for sale to pay off McLean's debts.
Yeah.
So that whole thing became a very interesting subject matter, and Cybergrass covered that for about 3 years, I believe, until it got all resolved.
And all that information's archived, I believe, right?
Yes, it's all available there. You could search for like McLean or Bill Monroe Mandolin, and you can find all that there.
I remember meeting that guy, and as I got to talk to him a couple times, I got to meet him just before it collapsed, but he really seemed fishy or something. And what he was doing is he was scamming the money so he could buy his way into country music confidence. Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He's a guy that bought the Carter guitar and the Bill Monroe mandolin and gave it to the museum with stolen money or Ponzi money.
Fraudulently acquired funds.
Yeah.
Now, where else on the internet would anybody have gone to find out that information?
Well, you've got the spot. And you've got the spot at cybergrass.com for all kinds of information about the backbone of country music, which is bluegrass, or at least it is to me, and just a wonderful site for people to explore worldwide that are interested about this type of music, acoustic-based, Appalachian-driven, Irish-influenced music.
Yeah, we definitely do cover the fringes of Appalachian mountain music, I guess it's called by Ralph Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And the roots music, and we do stretch our wings beyond the bluegrass cover, if you will. The umbrella lets a little sun in from the sides. One of the most refreshing things that came along was when the Steel Drivers came out.
From Texas, aren't they? Are they from Texas?
Oh, I believe they were from Nashville.
Oh, okay. I got the wrong group.
They put the blues back into bluegrass. They came out with this raspy, bluesy sound that had been gone from the music since the early days of Bill Monroe. And it was kind of like a breath of fresh air to come breezing through the music. And, you know, so it's fun to cover what's new and exciting that's happening that way. The Dixie Beeliners are more of an acoustic group, but I followed them when they were a honky tonk group. So Buddy Woodward and the Nitro Express, you may have heard of them. So they were, you know, Buddy goes into the bluegrass realm and did very, very well. And now they're one of the most popular groups on the circuit today. So it's fun to watch them. Chris Thiele has been amazing. I've got a picture on my wall of Chris when he's like 8 years old holding a mandolin.
Yeah, I was at a festival, Victorville, you know, the Don, what's his name, festival, the Huck Finn Festival. And this is several years ago, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, can my son sit in with you on a couple of songs or a song?" I said, "Well, I don't know. How old is he?" He says, "Oh, he's 14. And I said, "What's he play? Mandolin?" I said, "Well, bring him back here, and I'll play." I played Way Downtown for about 30 seconds, and I had Chris Thiele come up for about half the set. And it was, after about 20 seconds, you knew you didn't have to tell this guy anything. He played about half the set and just burned that little mandolin up like he does nowadays. Chris Thiele was in the band Nickel Creek.
Yes.
With a lot of great success, and he's on his own career now.
Right, and we just ran a story about Nickel Creek this week that the record label is releasing vinyl set of Nickel Creek. And they're going to release the vinyl set for Record Store Day, and it's coming out on Sugar Hill Records.
Oh, well, good.
Because I follow a lot of this way back when, I can bring it back to life today, you know. And following these young artists and watching them mature, like Chris and Allison, and it's so exciting to do.
Well, I can hear that. I've always heard that passion for what you love here in every time we've talked or met. And I would say if anybody's interested in finding some of the backstory or behind the pick or whatever you want to call it, side of bluegrass, that go to Cybergrass and check it out and tell people about it. It's a good thing. This is Bob Cherry I've been talking to about his site, Cybergrass, which is, well, check it out. You'll see what it is. Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being on syndicatednews.net.
Well, thank you, John, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you and speak with you. We go back a few years, and so it's always a pleasure.
Same here. I'll talk to you down the road. I think that we got it about covered, unless there's something left out that you'd like to include.
Well, I will say one of the – you asked me about why I do the technology of Cybergrass. It's like if you want to see a technologically advanced Cybergrass, check out johnmcewen.com. One of the first sites to use Flash in a creative way, an innovative way. His site doesn't resemble any other. It's unique, it's original, and it's fresh, and it's alive. And he was one of the first to do that. So he's got features on his site you don't see on others either. So it's been fun following him as well, not just his music, but what he's doing to promote music. So he's been a good role model for me as well.
Oh, come on. I look at it the other way.
No, you've been ahead of the curve on that side as well, John.
Well, thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you down the road. Look forward to seeing you in Colorado Springs or wherever next time.
We'll run into each other somewhere.
Oh, by the way, I'm playing that train ride in September, La Vida Pass?
Oh, La Vida Pass? Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
That'll be fun. I'll be down there for 2 days, late September. And have you seen that before?
I haven't. I've been on the Durango Silverton one. I have not been on the La Vida Narrow Gauge.
It's September 17, 18. Everybody rides a train to the top of the mountain, and I do a concert up there.
Well, wonderful. Well, the top of La Vida Pass makes you appreciate the free things in life, like air.
Sure does, that Colorado air.
Yeah, like John Duffy of the Seldom Seen said, Colorado is a state that needs to be pressurized.
Well, thanks for talking today, Bob, and have a good day.
Thank you, John. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye-bye.